Save It for the Blind is sponsored by Kershaw Knives. Kershaw manufactures next-level pocket knives for outdoor enthusiasts. Save for the Blind is now also being sponsored by Roseville Motorsports. Roseville Motorsports is the greater Sacramento area's premier destination for all your power sports vehicle needs. Stop in today to browse off-road vehicles from leading manufacturers like Polaris, Yamaha, and more. If you guys are enjoying the show, we'd love to hear from you and get your support. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Give us a 5-star rating. Your reviews really help us grow and reach more people. Thank you for being a part of our community.
Yeah.
Hey, Carson's on the line too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, cool. I just want to say hello. Good. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Thank you.
Good.
You guys get back up to Fall River up the cabin much anymore?
You know what's weird? We've been so busy down here. Like, we got into cattle a couple, I guess that's been 5 years now. And
like ranching cattle?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, we got like lots of leases everywhere, and my dad's constantly going all over the place to check on them. And it's like, everyone, I think sometimes people just think, oh, you get cattle, you put them on a piece of property, and that's good. It's like, it's like, is there water? Is there feed? Is there a fence down? Did one get sick? Did one get stuck in the mud? It's like, it's a constant just of babysitting, which I totally get. It's an animal, right?
Yeah.
So, but like my dad's 71, soon to be 72, but he's just all over the place. He's really into it because he did it when he was young with his father and grandfather. Uh-huh. But so the answer to, we get up to Big Lake as much. My parents used to go every month or every month and a half. And now they're probably more in that like 4 month range of when they go. You know? Okay. But, I love it up there. I mean, obviously you were born and raised up there, but I love it up there. It's, you just get away from everything, you know?
Yeah.
Is that where the cattle leases are up by Fall River?
No, everything's here local.
Oh, okay.
Like in the Fairfield, Benicia, Clayton, Antioch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My parents' place up there, it's, and Jeff would tell you, like, it's very lava, like,
oh, yeah,
lava ground, hard ground. So like, unless you are a big rancher that's been up there kind of forever, like you can't get land because it's everyone has it already, you know, like they're not gonna give up. That's, yeah, for sure.
They've been ranching up there for a long time.
Yeah. The MacArthurs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them.
Yeah. And I get it. They shouldn't give up the land. It's like, it's the good stuff's too good to pass up, you know?
Yep. Well, yeah. That's cool. That's exciting.
Everything, you got everything great with CWA. Like things are good.
Yeah. Things are good. You know, just always doing new things and trying to do more every year. But everything seems to be going in the right direction, and we'll just keep on moving forward with everything. But, yeah, overall, I mean, cool. Our side of the business has been great and, moving in the right direction. So, you know, we're just excited to get back into camps this summer, and we're just always trying to provide more opportunities for people. And it's just kind of really taken off over the last, you know, 5 years. So
yeah,
it's been fun.
Great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Appreciate
good for you guys. That's great. Yeah.
Well, cool. We'll get this going. So today on Save It for the Blind podcast, we have Corey Foskett, president of Tangle Free. Corey, thank you so much for joining us today. We're excited to talk about how Tangle Free started, kind of the waterfowl industry in the whole, and kind of where you guys see the company going a little bit. But why don't you start off of like, how did Tangle Free get started? I think everyone knows it as just the Tangle Free line, and now you guys have products from bags, sweatshirts, skinnies, full bodies, a little bit of everything, wind whackers. So how did it start, and how did you guys get there to today?
Yeah, well, Jeff and Carson, thanks for having me. Obviously been a longtime supporter of CWA, so been following your guys' podcast, so happy to jump on it. And, you know, being a California business, it's cool to support you guys and be part of it. But, yeah, so really, Tangle Free, the history is Jack and Dan Kiernan were father and son, and they were out in the Sassoon Marsh in the late 60s, early 70s, and they were picking up a bunch of decoys, and they were having a hard time with it, and they saw a guy over there just picking up his decoys super fast and efficient, so they kind of went over there in the boat, and they said, do you mind if we ask what you're doing? And he was either a dentist or a doctor, I believe. And he was using some surgical tubing, and that kind of got their wheels spinning to, they started looking into different types of, line, that would work. And they came up with the anchoring system to, quote, be tangle free. So it became very effective and efficient for them to set out and pick up decoys. My sister and I were looking to get into a business that we could start with the help of our parents being silent partners, investors. And, that was, going on 23 years ago. And, we stumbled across Tangle Free, and we met Dan Kiernan, and who became a very good friend of ours. And, he actually worked with us for a couple, 3 years, and, we purchased the business and kind of been running ever since, and extending the product line, expanding the product line from, you know, tangle free decoy line and anchors to, you know, we try to consider ourselves a one-stop shop. We've tried it. It took a while, you know, it didn't happen overnight. Obviously we've learned a lot of things along the way and dabble with, different products to try to become that one-stop shop. And, yeah, so that's kind of a little bit about it and kind of where we're at, you know.
When you guys purchased it, was it just the decoy line at that point?
So actually, we actually bought a company by the name of Bond, which they were a patio furniture, garden hose, pruning shears, all that. And they had a small division for about 3 years. And it was, they had blow molding facilities, and they truthfully had price point decoys. And we purchased that side of the business, and then 2 months later, it's probably the best thing we could have ever done, which was Tangle Free was up for sale. So we purchased Tangle Free with the decoy line and anchors, and then we took the very old, outdated, recycled plastic price point decoys, and we kind of ran with that for a couple of years, all with the goals of creating new carvings and creating new molds, but we just didn't have the right facilities or factories overseas to produce what we wanted. So a lot of trips overseas, a lot of trips traveling through China, trying to find the right partner, so to speak, that could put out a higher quality decoy. So, you know, I think to this day, some of the original stuff that is still out there would be like a swan decoy. And I think we kind of have a little bit of like the herons left over just as a confidence decoy. But yeah, we pretty much, it's an entire new lineup, you know?
What's your background? Because that's, I mean, me being in the industry I am, that's intimidating to go in and purchase a business like that. So did you have that background before? Yeah.
No. I guess my background would be as a young kid. I was always kind of had a little bit of an entrepreneurial mindset, or, you know, my parents were self-employed, and I don't know, I just saw fantastic work ethic from my parents at a young age. And I was always hustling, like between mowing lawns or, you know, cutting firewood and selling. I kind of you know, out of college I did like 3 or 4 little jobs, and I got in the health and nutrition industry and kind of some sales. But you know, really, I think it's just work ethic, right? Like if you're willing to put in the time and grind it out, I just feel like really good things happen. And, you know, I'm super blessed to have, the opportunity that my parents helped my sister and I have, you know, we've been business partners now for, like I said, going on 23 years. We have, an incredible working relationship, and our families are super tight. And, you know, we communicate really well together. It was intimidating. You're absolutely right. I mean, if I would have got out of college and be like, oh, you're going to go to China 2 or 3 times a year, yeah, I would have said, wait, hold on, I'm not interested in that, you know? Cause it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And I learned how to kind of prepare myself to go to China for 2 weeks. Like, you know, you're trying to juggle your business at, you know, your business, your relationships and your home life. And like, okay, got to make sure everything's taken care of and dialed up, cause I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. And with the time difference, it's, you know, you'd stay up till midnight to try to like say hi to your wife and kids and stuff. And it's really not easy, you know, and the whole culture over there is so different, but it's really changed over the years. Like it's actually a lot easier to work with overseas factories. And a lot of it's of course, because of the technology between, you know, it used to be Skype and then it's, you know, it's WeChat and you can FaceTime them and you can show stuff where that was never an option. So it's certainly easier now, you know?
Yeah, I bet. Now, when you were first starting out and to look at some of these other businesses, was it wanting to get in the outdoor space or did, you know, when you guys saw Bond company and was like, well, this could potentially work. And then you said, you know, Tangle Free came on a little bit after that. I mean, were you wanting to get into this type of work or was that just an opportunity that you couldn't pass over?
Yeah. So actually what we would do is we would meet twice a month with my parents and our CPA, who's a very good friend of our families. And we would literally go to lunch and like, we would literally just throw stuff to the wall. Right. I mean, we were looking at storage facilities. We were looking at, car washes, you know, water, like deliver, you know, water and everything. And long story short is our CPA was also the CPA for Bond. And my dad said, why don't you see if they want to sell the decoys? And he got back to us, said, hey, they're not interested. And probably the next meeting, my dad said, hey, why don't you double check with them? And that's probably one of the most important things I've learned from my dad in the business is, you know, it's kind of being persistent, right? Uh-huh. Like not pushy, but persistent. So he just kind of asked again and they said, hey, we'll have a meeting. So, I mean, literally we went from, hey, we might do storage facility or water or a car wash to, oh, by the way, you're going to be traveling to China a couple times a year. And the funny thing I like to laugh about, too, is I grew up big game hunting. I literally had not much experience at all in waterfowling. So, like, I was as green could be. So, like, it was an opportunity for me to really learn about waterfowling. I mean, like, so I started going quite a bit and all sorts, you know, one of the really cool things about California, as you guys know, is there's so many different types of waterfowl hunting you can do in California, where I think other states don't have that, right? I mean, one day you're in a pit blind in a rice check, you know, the next day you could be in a boat in the Delta, like you could hunt divers, you could go on a dry field. I mean, it's literally kind of endless. So like I'm still learning, but I went through a very fast phase of, cause I wanted to educate myself. So when I did go to a trade show, and you're talking to people, I at least wanted to have a pretty good concept and idea of what was going on in hunting, you know, on the waterfowl side of things.
Now, what were some of those your biggest challenges kind of early on? You talked about the travel, et cetera. You're kind of green into hunting. I mean, what took it from those, you know, kind of cheap price point decoys to really like what you guys is nice molding and, you know, premier decoys that you have now?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the biggest challenges were just to find a facility, a factory that could do what we wanted and were hoping to, you know. I've told this story a few times. I remember when we first bought the business, part of the agreement was the Bond would say, hey, like they were going to go to China with us. And we're going to go to our main factory and talk. And they said, hey, we found this other factory and the pricing's all the same and their product looks really good. So like in my mind, I just keep thinking, okay, pricing's the same and everything will be the same, you know, way better product, pricing's the same. So we spent like 3 days at the existing factory that they had been with. Okay. We fly, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours, drive 2 hours. We walk into this place and I walk into this showroom and I'm like, wow, these things are, they're amazing. They're beautiful. They like look incredible. And I remember we sat down and they were probably 35 to 40% more. And I just couldn't wrap my mind around like that they were the same price like 3 months earlier. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that as that probably was quite possibly one of the biggest mistakes I made in this journey of being in business, because I was so wrapped up on a price point decoy mm-hmm. where if we had made that change right then and there, I do believe our brand would have escalated at a much quicker pace because of the fact that it was a dang good looking duck or goose, you know, but And that's the hard thing, is like trying to find a factory that you can work with and trust and have a good relationship. And it took a lot of trips over there to finally find someone that could put out a higher quality product that, we're looking for durability. You know, we want the product to last. I mean, waterfowlers are very rough on product, and clearly the environment that everyone's hunting, that like we talked about, you know, it could be a dry field in a trailer or bags, or it could be in a boat or even a pond where the decoys sit out there for, you know, in California, what, 100 days, 120. I mean, so it's the product gets beat up, and it's hard to try to have the best quality you can, without question.
Yeah, no, you're no doubt on the being rough on gear.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. it's tricky.
Yeah.
When you were starting, I'm sure there was what, GHG, Flambeau, like some of the original, and then there were some other brands kind of starting around that same time. What do you think you guys did that kind of set yourself apart, where you guys didn't just get swallowed up into the masses of all these companies that were being introduced for new duck decoys?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, you talk about like a carry light and a Flambeau, that was kind of like that's what most people had. And if people were like, you know, well off, they would get the G&H decoys out of Oklahoma, made in the USA. And then I think the people who really, really, really like raised the bar without question was Avery, you know, Greenhead Gear. So they were definitely ahead of us as far as when we got into the industry. You know, I think the biggest thing that helped us grow was, you know, we worked hard at it. If we told a dealer we were going to ship it on June 1st, we shipped it on June 1st. If we caught word of like a container was delayed, we'd reach out to a company right away and say, hey, we're like 10 days behind because of this port. And I found right away that just open communication in business in general, and I guess it's life, is super important. And I can remember the first time I tried to call a dealer to say we're going to be like 10 days late, I was really nervous. And the buyer said, hey, just so you know, like that is great you call me. Just remember, like, the sooner you can call me, then I can plan things out. And it kind of made it kind of really open my eyes to be like, hey, just communicate with people. And I think that's what helped us gain more of the market share, was open communication and actually delivering when we said we would. And then we took the strategy also of the decoy industry used to be very, very just in time inventory. So stores, dealers only wanted product, you know, early third quarter. That, you know, they don't want to sit on product for a year. That's just, it's money just sitting there, and it takes up too much space. So what we started doing though is we started keeping our warehouse full here. You know, that same CPA that helped us get started was not a fan of us filling up the warehouse with a bunch of products in there. But what it did is, historically, delivery wasn't great in the waterfowl industry on decoys. So like, we started getting a lot of phone calls or emails and say, hey, like, do you guys happen to have this in stock? And we'd be like, yep. So we became a reliable, I guess, last minute, like, band-aid, so to speak. And that kind of opened up the doors to certain accounts and certain dealers. So that worked out well for us.
Yeah, that's definitely one thing I can attest to, just ordering stuff through you guys for CWA, whether it's a blind stool or decoy line rigs or whatever. I run out, and then, you know, our properties in the Sioux Soon are close to where your warehouse is, but I know it's going to get there next day, which is beyond me, unless you're ordering something from Amazon. It just doesn't happen if you're ordering from a direct-to-consumer kind of hunting website anymore.
Yeah, you guys got very fast shipping, so high five on that.
Yeah, well, you guys are lucky, and I laugh because we are in California, just close to you guys. But on the flip side, even though we ship everything out by 1 p.m. is kind of the cutoff, if you're on the East Coast or the Midwest, regardless, we did what we, you know, you, someone comes and orders, we get it shipped that day. You know, it might be 3 days and we're like, ah, darn, like we're looking at maybe trying to have a fulfillment center in the Midwest so we can have like just your guys' experience, which is,
oh, man, great. Order
came the next day. Yeah. So we're experimenting and looking into, hey, maybe we need to really take a hard look into having another fulfillment center in the Midwest so customers can have that same satisfaction. And, you know, you talk about the Amazons. Yeah. I mean, my wife, family, my daughters, it's like, it's truly amazing. Like how quick, but they also have I don't know how many distribution centers they have, but I want to say it's like upwards of, you know, 400. And it's like, it makes sense why they can get there that quickly. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes we have to remind customers like, hey, like we're not Amazon. Like we don't have distribution centers like all across America, you know, but, we communicate.
Though, what percentage of your sales come from, let's say, east of the Mississippi? Is that a large chunk?
So the Mississippi Flyway is like, it's just kind of the heartbeat, you know, mm-hmm. of waterfowlers. It's just like from where it starts up in Northern California or Northern California, North America, like coming all the way down. I would say like that Mississippi Flyway, Central Flyway, that's, you know, the last time we ran numbers, I mean, it's definitely, you know, close to half the business. Oh, wow. You know, as far as, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it's just, and a lot of it's just the way they hunt too. I mean, they have to have, they put out such big spreads, right? So, you know, like if, depending on where and how you guys are hunting here in California, like you could get away with a dozen or two dozen decoys that you throw out. But if you have a big rice spread, like you're, you know, depending on if the property owner says, hey, you can't put more than 200, well, you're going to put out 200, you know? So, yeah. It all depends on what you're allowed to do.
Yeah, definitely. Is what's like your one SKU year in and year out that your guys' top product that people are always buying?
Yeah. You know, I always say the meat and potatoes are mallards and Canada geese, just kind of across the country, right? Those are items we try not to run out of during the season at all, you know, and mm-hmm. even during the off season. But the one item that I'm super proud of that has actually really changed the way guys hunt, waterfowlers hunt, is the panel blind. Mm-hmm. You know, we worked hard with Sean Stahl on that item. And it has really changed the way people hunt, like because, you know, it allows, it's so versatile, like you can get into areas that you might not have been able to get into. But what's also cool about it is, you know, if you have inexperienced hunters, you know, young hunters or older hunters, like you can't really ask those people to be in a layout blind by themselves, because it gets, I mean, if you're very new at it, like you don't know what to expect, right? Mm-hmm. But if you get in a panel blind, you're hidden really well, like now you're sitting up and, you know, people can say, hey, they're going to come from our right. Well, now everyone's kind of realized like, hey, they're going to come from our right, where if you're laying down and Jeff, you're calling the shot, I can't hear you four blinds away, you know?
Yeah, like, that's so hard.
It's really created some great success for waterfowlers, you know. So the panel blind's been a really great item, you know, for us.
Exciting news. Our hunt program is now accepting applications for spring turkey and pig hunts. Visit cowwaterfowl.org to apply today. We're also offering free mentored turkey hunts at Sacramento National Wildlife Refuge and Delavan National Wildlife Refuge. An incredible opportunity for new hunters to gain hands-on experience in the field. Camp registration is now open. If you have a young hunter looking to obtain their hunter education certificate, we offer 4 2.5-day camps designed to provide hands-on learning and certification. These take place June through July. While you're there, don't miss our free membership deal. Purchase a membership and receive a free Realtree sweatshirt while supplies last. You can also apply for hunts, purchase tickets for upcoming events, and show your support for waterfowl conservation. Some of the upcoming events are Modesto Recruitment, March 20th, Stockton, March 20th, Brentwood East County Spring Fling, March 22nd, Placerville Banquet, March 22nd. Don't miss out. Visit cowwaterfowl.org now.
Now, like on a product like that, from the inception to market, usually how long does it take to get a product to the consumer?
Yeah, so on the panel blind, that was a tricky one because we had a lot of tooling that we had to create, right? And there's a lot of experimenting with the size of the tubing or the frame. And, that one probably took probably close to 2 years. And I think more so now than ever is one of the things that people might not think about is, so you could have a finished product, but like, then you have to get all the studio images and you have to get all the field images. So like, if you don't have that product like the season before, I would rather not, you know, I don't want to just show you the panel blind in like the parking lot here at Tangle Free or like on an unrealistic hunting situation. So like, there's always a rush to get product completed during waterfowl season so you can actually capture it in its true environment, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that you guys have coming out this year and next season or the year after that you guys are really excited about that you can share with?
Yeah. You know, as we're, you know, growing and looking into stuff, I mean, I think, you know, you guys as avid waterfowlers, I mean, you're kind of seeing how certain, you know, companies and certain camouflage companies are, you know, kind of the older patterns are kind of coming back. And if you think about it, some of these patterns that are like being reintroduced and, you know, we just did it recently with like original bottomland and original shadow grass. Like there is a very, you know, very large portion of the waterfowl community who like, they probably never even seen original bottomland or original shadow grass. And so like, we're doing things like that, you know, we're bringing back, you know, other waterfowl patterns that, you know, might have been that were popular back in the day. And we're trying to introduce some stuff. You know, our goal every year is of course to improve, on our current product assortment. We look at, hey, can we add more things, you know, like we're not doing anything super crazy this coming year. Like I don't have any like home runs hit out of the park, you know, but like, you know, like, we'll do some stuff with like our higher end of duck decoys is under the Flight series. So, you know, we've got some new wood ducks coming out that I think look absolutely gorgeous. Michael Braun's the carver that we work with, and he knocked it out of the park with those. And you know, just some added specialty packs, you know, like, you know, different dabbler packs, things of that sort. But there's nothing super crazy that I'd love to tell you guys, like, oh man, this is going to be a game changer. So yeah. Yeah.
No, it's interesting.
I wish I had that to tell you guys, but once again, like we do have a lot of things we come out with because waterfowlers, they're always looking for something that, hey, that's going to help me put more ducks in front of me or more geese in front of me, you know? So we have things for sure coming out, but it'll be, most of our stuff will come out like summer, early summer to late summer to early fall, you know, cause that's when waterfowlers are very, programmed to like really start like thinking about, you know, duck or goose season and start to, you know, build up their spread. So,
yep. Yeah, it's funny to me. You talked about bringing back the old camo patterns. Cause you know, when Dive Bomb first came out a couple of years ago, it's like they're bringing back silhouettes. And you guys have always had silhouettes, but it's like their whole company was based around silhouettes. And then we talked to Matthew Cagle from Rig 'Em Right, and they were bringing back just the black plain decoys. It was like all this stuff that was popular in the 60s, 70s, and 80s is now coming back and making a resurgence. It's almost just like the revolving door.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's super interesting. Like if you think about it, like it's no waterfowlers and the industry are really no different than like things that, I mean, so I'm 48. So things that I wore when I was 10, they disappeared. But like all of a sudden I see my kids, and I'm like, wait, they're like, it's, you know, it's things just come and go. And I think, like we said, a lot of people don't even know. They weren't even aware of this stuff, you know? And
yeah.
And there's still going to be some other changes coming. There's no doubt. Right. I mean, And we'll see it. Like, socks and silhouettes might be hot for, like, it could be 2 years or it could be 8 years, but they're going to go away. And guess what? In 10 years, they're going to come back again, because I think, you know, my opinion is I do feel like that the waterfowl, you know, ducks and geese, they eventually figured out and get educated where they will just say, oh, I've seen that spread before, like for the last 5 years, like if they're able to migrate back and forth and like get educated. But I think you got to continually switch it up and give them a different look to try to trick them, you know?
Yeah, they go silhouettes and then you go socks, then you go full bodies and then you go back to silhouettes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every couple of years you're just rotating through.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, we can all admit it. It's gonna happen, you know.
Oh, definitely. It's like, you know, mojos versus blades versus whatever motion decoys, and well, like it changes.
Think about the blade. The first blade was what, Robert Matthews in Marysville, right?
Yeah,
well, and 30
plus years ago.
Yeah. So I was not a waterfowler then. And people said it was the most amazing thing they'd ever seen. Like ducks just come out of nowhere and just go to that blade. And guess what? Guess what's happening? The blade's back, right? Like you always saw a few people get them made, like, and never tell people about it because they didn't want to even know about it. Well, now I know right here in California, there were several guys making them out of their garages.
Oh yeah.
And they couldn't keep them in stock. Like my buddies would try to get them and they'd be like, oh, they're a month out and this and that. And then now you're starting to see them kind of mass produced again. Cause it's like, well, it works. And that was the original, you know, spinning wing decoy, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
Here you go. Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think amazing. You're ever going to get in that space with electronic decoys?
Yeah, you know, I definitely think it's stuff that we're looking into and working on, and it's definitely a heck of a lot trickier and harder than a blow molded, you know. Yeah. I think a blow molded, you know, painted decoy is hard enough, right? And now you start adding the electronic side of it, and it's like, oh boy, now this is difficult. But yeah, I mean, you look at the natural growth where we can expand our product line, and it just makes too much sense not to, you know.
And did you guys acquire Windwhacker? I mean, when did that start? I mean, I noticed them on your guys' website, I don't know, a year or two ago.
So,
but so
Windwhacker, you know, got started down in San Diego. kind of a similar situation to us. Siblings, you know, brother, sister, and then the father actually created it. And he would come up to Sac a lot and hunt up here in Northern California because he's from San Diego. So as you guys can imagine, like, you know, there's better opportunities up here. And probably about year five of being in business, we met with him at SHOT Show, and we distributed the product for them for about, I don't think it was two full years. It was definitely one full year. And it kind of worked out, and then it's like, all right, well, it didn't work out after that, which was totally fine. Everything ended in a good way. And then, yeah, 2 years ago, Rob called us and said, hey, like, I'm thinking about getting out. Would you be interested? And I said, yeah, we'd be interested. So we started talking, and it was a long, it took a while for some unfortunate reasons. Their father passed away, and I just said, hey man, you handle family 100%. Don't worry, we're not going anywhere, and I'm not going to bug in. He would call every once in a while and check in. I'm like, hey, don't worry about us. You take care of the family stuff that's going on. And great family. So we purchased that, and it's been good. I think we're giving it the exposure that hopefully it deserves and needs, you know. I mean, when you're a smaller company that only has a few SKUs, like it's hard to make a big splash, right? But mm-hmm. like we could add that to our product assortment. So, you know, that's where, you know, you talk about, you know, electronic decoys, like, yeah, it totally makes sense because we've had some wind activated stuff. Of course, we have a floating decoy to a full body decoy to a silhouette, you know, which we call, you know, our skinnies or our slammer socks. I mean, so once again, we're trying to be a one-stop shop. And so there's definitely areas that we can continue to grow in and try to be that one-stop shop, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of shop, dude, How many people do you guys have show up at your warehouse every day? Because I'm sure that not everybody out listening knows that you can actually go to the Tangle Free warehouse and purchase items.
Yeah, you know, so it's a great question. I'm upstairs in my office working, but anytime I go down or I think there needs to be help, I'll tell you what, come a couple months before waterfowl season, and then obviously during, we become like probably wife's worst nightmare, right? Like, I just come down here all the time. I always say it's a toy store, right, for men, for waterfowlers, because they just come in and just start going around in circles and grabbing stuff. And it's been cool because, you know, where we're located in Concord, if you're like, okay, like, where's the nearest place people go? And it's like, there's not a lot of options, right? So like, I don't want to say like we become a destination. That's not fair. But if someone wants to come and put their hands on the product and then shop, it's like, hey, we're right here. So yeah, it's been fun. And we have Fred down in the warehouse. Like, he kind of runs the warehouse, and everyone, I mean, guys come in. I mean, he's created a lot of great relationships with hunters, because, and then what happens is it kind of becomes like a hangout spot, you know, like I'll hear a commotion down there and I'll kind of stand up and look, and I'm like, oh, that's this person. And obviously they're duck hunters. Guess what? They want to talk about what's going on, right? Like, mm-hmm. Has it been good? Has it been bad? What's working? And so, there becomes a lot of activity down in the warehouse. But yeah, it's just, you know, we have a little bit of a storefront. Like, we kind of took some old barn wood from our family's ranch and built a little display. And, you know, we carry Sitka stuff there. We have some Yeti stuff there. And at the end of the day, people come in and they're like, they love the fact that they can touch it, get their hands on it, and grab it and go, you know? So it's pretty fun. Like, that's been neat. And I met a lot of really cool people that way too, you know?
That's awesome. I didn't know that you guys were open to the public. I know people are like, hey, I went down to the Tingle Free shop and yada, 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 but I just thought it was people that you guys already knew, et cetera. But,
that's nice to know. And, you know, like, no, great. Yeah. And, you know, before we started, you know, so Jeff and I have a long history. I mean, so when we first started business after a few years, Jeff was actually one of our, actually, I do believe you are our first promotional staffer, right? So yeah, you were waving the flag and yeah, he was, all kidding aside, he was waving the flag and promoting the brand, and which is really cool. It's kind of all full circle, you know? And, but yeah, no, people definitely come down. And, what I was going to say is, before we started the podcast is, you know, we just saw a change in the way that things were going for us as a company, being a wholesaler. So, you know, distributing to the big boxes and the dealers. And we just thought it was a better move for us to move towards a direct to consumer business. And I think that's where there could be some confusion or people not knowing is that, yeah, like, hey, man, we're selling at tanglefree.com, and you can also come to our warehouse right here, our office, and buy direct from Tanglefree. So, yeah, we're definitely trying to spread that word. And it's always nice to see new customers come through, because once they know we're here, then they're like, okay, I can at least come here and get stuff kind of whenever I want, you know?
Yeah. Some guy gets drawn for a late season sack hunt and they don't have a bunch of snow socks. They can just run down to the warehouse and grab them.
Run on down, man. Pop in here. We'll help you out. Freddie will help you out for sure. You know,
that's awesome. Well, that's good to know.
And I
do want to talk about you guys have a bunch of like conservation campaigns throughout the year. I mean, why is it important for the company to give back to conservation organizations? We've been on the receiving end of that. I know there's been other conservation groups, et cetera. Kind of what's your guys' thought on that?
Man, it was really simple. The thought, it wasn't even hard to think about, quite honestly. It's like, okay, so I know what, you know, my sister and I know how we're trying to make a living, and the rest of the team here at Tanglefree, but it's like, look, if we're not willing to promote and hear stories of what CWA is doing and you know, the other nonprofits, it's like, we want to make sure that people are very aware that, hey, you can love duck hunting all you want, but if you're not going to be aware of what a company in your backyard is doing to help you duck hunt, kind of shame on you, quite honestly, right?
Yeah.
And I always think it's kind of amazing. There was a guy I knew that used to be employed by one of these nonprofits, and he would always say, like, if he's going to go hunting with someone, he'd be like, hey, are you a member? Like, let's just use CWA. Hey, are you a member of CWA? Oh, no. It's like, okay, get a membership and you can go hunting with me. That's kind of an interesting thing. And I agree with it because it's like, look, how can you go hunting and you love all this stuff, but you're not willing to be a member, which for a very small contribution, you're trying to tell people like, hey, we're invested in it. So for us, truthfully, it was really simple to say, hey, we want to give back to these organizations because that is how we are making our living. And, just a no-brainer, you know, like, and we also thought it was cool for, like, for you guys to say, okay, this is the important message that, you know, we want to make sure that everyone understands what we're doing. So we've worked with you guys to make sure you guys are passing along whatever message you want to help promote CWA. So waterfowlers know, wow, hey, that's where they're focusing a big project on in California this year. So it's been great, and we're definitely happy to do it. And I always tell everyone, like, man, I want to cut as big a check as I can possible, because that means that people are realizing, like hey if I go and whatever I buy at Tangoverde, like, it's not costing me a penny of my own money to make that contribution. Like, we're gonna Tangoverde makes that contribution direct to those organizations. So we look forward to that time in September every year.
Yeah, well, we appreciate that. And I know just over the years in general, you've given a ton to, you know, our youth and education programs and countless dinners throughout the state. I know lots of committees always hit you guys up, and you guys are always really good to them. So we definitely appreciate the support there.
Yep, we, like I said, love doing it and happy to do it. And it's, like I said, it's a no brainer, right? To be supportive of you guys without question.
Yeah. Now with the Trump administration now in play, with talks of tariffs and things like that, I mean, what are you guys experiencing, and what should the consumer expect going into waterfowl season? Price points changing? Is it going to be harder to get product? And what's the thought there?
Yeah, so at this very moment, should not be hard to get product if there's no issues with overseas, like shortage of raw materials. So I haven't heard any word of that from any of my factories. They're confident that, you know, hey, we got plenty of paint, we got plenty of plastic. So, you know, a tricky thing that people don't think about a lot is, you know, ocean freight. Ocean freight, like, 3 years ago went absolutely bonkers, meaning stuff went, like, it went up, like, literally, like, 6, 7, 8 times, like, what you're paying to, like, get something there. So it's great. It's not, it doesn't affect you. If I have a container full of iPhones that, you know, they're wholesaling for $500 a piece, I mean, I think we all could figure out, hey, you can put a lot of iPhones in a container, right? But when you have a big bulky box of snow geese or speckabelly geese, like, whatever your cost is, however many products you can stick in that container, you have to divide it by how many to be like, hey, that's costing us, you know, $15 a box just to get it there. Well, you can only imagine when those prices went up 6, 7, 8 times, it's like, wait a second. 3 months ago, it was costing us $15. Now it's going to cost us $100. So, like, we had to pump the brakes. Like, hey, don't ship it, because, like, we are going to lose our tail, right?
Yeah.
So, on the tariff side of things, I totally understand why it's happening. And as an American who wants what's best for our country, I totally get that. Unfortunately, as a business owner who is importing goods from outside the U.S. It is difficult. It is tricky, because at the end of the day, if I'm paying 20% more of my landed costs, like, we have to really look at our numbers and see, like, okay, can we eat that? Can we bump it up $5, you know, like, it's going to be tricky. There's no doubt. But the reality of it is everybody's in the same boat, right?
Like, yeah.
Everybody's doing the same thing we are of importing things. So with the exception of a few brands, obviously, but, there's going to have to be some slight increases because it's not obtainable. Like at the end of the day, like we all know, look, if you're in business to make money and if you don't make money, you're not going to be in business. That's the bottom line, you know? So,
yep.
You know, so we need to be healthy from that side of things so we can continue to, you know, come up with new product, keep everyone at Tangle Free employed, and then obviously, you know, do things where, hey, we can make donations and contributions to nonprofits. So, you know, it's going to be tricky. I'm studying it all the time, trying to figure it out and to see what we're going to have to do and where we can make adjustments. So, not a fun thing to do, but that's just everything in business isn't always fun and easy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now with those shipping costs, did those ever go down? And what was the big increase there? I remember reading some stuff about it, but.
Yeah. You know, it was one of those things you guys were like, you really couldn't define like why the 100% reason. It was kind of like, it's definitely supply and demand, right? That's one of the hugest things, but you'd also have to understand, which we do, is like if oil went through the roof, then guess what? Like those vessels have to like, so, but oil wasn't going through the roof. What it came down to was a shortage of ships, of vessels. So all of a sudden, like what was crazy is like, we would have something booked like for 2 weeks, like, okay, hey, we're going to ship this thing on June 1st. Like we're all fired up. And all of a sudden our people come back like, hey, you got bumped. And like, so we finally had some pretty good conversations. And the reason we're getting bumped is like, you had really big companies would come into a carrier and say, hey, I'll give you $5,000 more. And it's like, they're like, all right, sorry, Tangle for your house. They just got 5,000. So we got bumped a lot. And I would say a lot of smaller brands that would happen to continually, you know? So, luckily the ocean freight, has been back to normal and it's in a healthy situation. So, now if the ocean freight gets going crazy during that, you know, early third quarter, fourth quarter, it's like, oh man, and the tariffs and stuff like that's going to get,
okay,
you know, cause you know, at the end of the day, we're a leisure sport. We're a leisure activity. Like nobody has to have a duck decoy or a panel blind or, you know, like, so like, you know, like people aren't going to, if money gets tight and things get, they're not going to be like, oh, I don't have to get decoys, you know? So I kind of always have to remember that, which I think I do a good job of that. But, yeah, it's kind of tricky.
I disagree. You always need decoys, Corey.
you
always need hunting stuff.
You always need more.
More.
Yeah. Waterfowlers are extremely passionate, man. And they do. I've always said, like, I feel like I do feel like, you know, when things do get tight for everybody, no matter what their situation, I feel like it's like, okay, like if someone's like, all right, I'm going to pack my lunch for 2 weeks to save, I'm just going to throw a number, $200. Like they'll do that so they can, if they have their eye on some product, you know, where they are definitely passionate about the waterfowl space, you know?
Definitely. Definitely a very dedicated breed on their passions.
Yeah. No question about it.
Me included. You know? Yep.
Yeah. Oh, everyone's guilty of it, right? No doubt.
We talked about products earlier and, we always find it interesting. Like, is there a product that like you were just really excited about either getting it to market or potentially never getting it to market? And it was just like a total flop or didn't happen. Is there a product that we might not have seen? It was interesting talking to like Mojo or Will Primos, et cetera. They all had, you know, some ideas where it just, for whatever reason, it just never took off, but they, you know, thought it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think, like I talked about earlier, literally 4 or 5 months into this adventure of Tangle Free is, like I told you guys, walking into that factory and thinking in my mind they were going to be the same price, and here they were 30% more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think about that a lot. I don't lose sleep, but I'm like, man, that was a huge miss of mm-hmm. just not, that would have given us a lot of credibility. Now with that, the old existing factory that I used to go to, we had a product that Jeff, you might remember. Remember we had the floating island,
the little muskrat mounds or whatever.
Yeah. Little muskrat mound. You put two full body. Now, you know, the thing is, this is, you know, if I look back on it, I'm like, okay, the concept was great. Like it's a little floating island. You could put two full bodies on it.
Yeah.
The problem is our full body ducts didn't look amazing, right? They looked, I would just say, okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, had I had the correct factory, I could have had a really good looking full body pintail or a full body mallard on there. And it's like, I think it would have been much more appealing, right? Like dangling the carrot in front, you know, like a fishing lure, right? I look at that one as like, what would have come of that, right? You know, do you also, Jeff, remember we had a product that it was called like the double take goose, and it was a full body goose that you could it slid in half, like you could unslide it and then have a floating goose
decoy. Yes, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, and the same thing I would tell you guys both is we were at a factory that wasn't capable of some of the technology to make it quote as bulletproof as possible. So. Uh-huh. That one didn't do much either, but I kind of look back and you're like, well, maybe it could have done something, or maybe just in my mind it could have, but those are probably a couple of the ones that I think,
you can bring them back. There's stuff that's always coming back.
I like the island idea.
I know. Yeah. You never know, right?
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. The island idea. So did the floating island, it was just anchored by like a decoy string, and then you'd put,
yeah, it had like a big keel on it.
Yeah,
I always thought if there was like not some strings, but like elastic rope around it where you could like put, you know, actual toolies and things on it, it would look a little bit more
realistic. That'd be kinda cool.
But yeah, definitely. It's a cool concept, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They always get up on those islands.
And you think, you know, you gotta kinda think about, okay, where could they be beneficial? And I think the more you think about it, it's like, hey, they could be beneficial in a lot of places, you know, because it shows like, hey, they're relaxed, it's a natural, mm-hmm. and looks like a good place to go hang out, right? So it was pretty interesting. I'd have to look through some of the containers here to see if we still have them. It's kind of fun. Yeah, I stroll down memory lane sometimes, like, oh man, that was and that's funny is I look at some of the stuff sometimes, I'm like, man, I was sure proud of that. Now I'm like, oh boy, that maybe I shouldn't have been so excited about that, you know? Yeah.
Live and learn.
Funny. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So, I mean, where do you guys see the business going? You're direct consumer now. I mean, is it just continuing, just always adding new products, expanding to, you know, other markets, potentially outside of waterfowl hunting? I mean, where do you guys see the brand going?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think the answer is you got to continue to be innovative and bring new stuff or reintroduce old stuff or improve current stuff to the waterfowl space. I think, you know, I touched a little bit on, yeah, are we looking into battery operated motion stuff? I mean, yes, absolutely. You know, would I love to do some things to avoid seasonality? Yeah, definitely. You know, I tell people this, you know, you look at how long you guys have been waterfowlers, and if you just, let's just generically say it's been 20 years. If you go back 20 years, or if you're even older than all of us and you go back 30 or 40, like, you look at what is at consumers, waterfowlers' fingertips. Like, there are so many good companies out there putting out really good stuff, right? So mm-hmm. the bar has been raised tremendously by all these companies, all these brands in the waterfowl space. So it's pretty tricky to figure out like, what can we do or how can we put our own spin on it to make it a little different? And that's probably the hardest thing, because like, there's so many things that you could introduce, but you're like, well, I don't know, like other companies kind of have it. I don't want to be, you try to avoid that, you know, but it becomes tricky because you're like, how many different ways can I change something to put our own identity on it? You know, and definitely, it absolutely gets tricky.
Yeah. And then you see, you know, there's some brands I've started recently and it's kind of that where it's like, you know, the products look kind of all the same. They might have a few SKUs, but it's definitely looks like someone else's product, just a little bit different of a schematic. So it's hard. I could see how it'd be extremely difficult. You know?
Yeah. There's no question. It is. And, you know, like I said, my biggest thing is, man, there's a lot of really good products out there. I mean, you know, like, things just look so good, you know, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, is it hard when you guys are finding like these factories where it's like, you know, they might be potentially making someone else's product, or like if you found a factory that's not doing decoys and then someone else comes in and takes, you know, some production off their plate? I mean, how does that work? Is it?
It happens to everyone. You're never going to have a factory not be willing to do as much business as they can, you know? Absolutely. Like you can be like, you can say, hey man, like we'll keep you busy year round. We'd love to be exclusive. Oh yeah. Okay. Perfect. You come back 6 months later and you walk in, they're like, oh man, they're making 300 decoys something. <Yeah. laughs> And you're like, and what's hard is you're like, hey, like, you're not delivering on time for me, right? Like, why are you taking on more business? And like, you can have that discussion till you're blue in the face. It's actually not even worth having that discussion because they're not going to grasp it. And more importantly, they really don't care, you know? So you kind of just have to face reality of like, well, let me just keep this relationship as healthy as I can, because they're obviously going to do whatever they want, what's best for their, in their mind, what's best for their business, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, China's a ginormous country, as we all know, but it's crazy how you can walk in to a decoy factory or a cut and sew factory and you're like, hey, there's like three brands that are in this one. And oh, there's three in this one. It's just,
that's wild.
But it's absolutely wild, you know?
Oh, that is.
It is. It's pretty crazy. That's just the reality, you know.
That's where you say it's hard to differentiate yourself. They're all coming from the same factory. Like they can only be so different.
Yeah,
it's 100%. And you know, I did. I used to get worked up over it. Like worked up, like would bother me. Like. But now I'm like, okay. So like, we work with Michael Braun, like world champion, you know, decoy carver, painter, and like, there's a lot of stuff that we do to get the decoy as realistic as possible. And then like, I'll see another brand come out with a decoy and I'm like, wait, like that really looks like the decoy that we came out last year. And oh, by the way, they're using the same exact colors that we've like worked hard. And I'm like, it bothers me. But once again, what are you going to do? You literally can't do anything about it, you know?
Yeah. That'd be
it's
tough.
Like, oh, yeah, it is. It's tough because like I know the time and energy and the money that we spent to get the product to market and as realistic as possible. And all of a sudden, like a year later, 6 months later, this other company just basically, it's like a very similar mold and the paint scheme, or more importantly, the colors are like all the same. Because as you guys know, look, you could hunt a widgeon, and if you got a limit of widgeon, they could all be slightly different in color variation from their head, you know, to the mm-hmm. main body. It's just, so you try to, come up with the color that is most appeasing to the general masses. Right. And you can't always get it right. That's for sure. Cause someone's always going to say, oh, that should be darker. Oh, that should be lighter. And you're like, man, I don't know what to tell you, you know?
I've never met a duck hunter that doesn't have an opinion on something.
Very true. Except for you, right, Jeff?
Exactly. Exactly. Which is hilarious.
Too funny.
But yeah. Corey, man, thank you so much for coming on today, dude. We super appreciate it, and it was fun catching up with you.
You bet, guys. And thanks for doing what you guys are doing, and love to continue to keep supporting Seed Bay however we can, you know?
Awesome. Corey, president of Tangle Free, appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Have a great day. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, Corey. Care.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Save It for the Blind podcast. You can find our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.